Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Welcome to another episode of Wisdom and Wellness with Wit. I'm here with my friend Megan Tibbetts. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me, Wit. I'm so happy to be here.
I know. We have we've had an interesting start. Technology is definitely not my strength. So
not mine either.
We have been excited, but I just think it's because we're gonna have an even better conversation.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
So I'm excited because we started really getting to know each other more. I think it was during COVID, right? It was when we had started, maybe it was before that, but when we had started writing with our friend.
Yes, Andrea. We were writing on Zoom maybe regularly, and it was super life-giving.
Yeah, for sure. So, and then I feel like when we finally actually were in person, we were like, oh yeah, I haven't actually really like hung out with you in person
because
it was always on Zoom.
Literally. But now we play tennis and it's a blast.
And we're professionals and it's wild.
We are professionals.
Yes. Well, and since I started podcasting, I've been wanting to just have you on and chat with you because I think, not only are you a worshiper and a musician and like an insane vocalist and like all of those like obvious things, but you know, as you just get to know you and talk with you, like you have such a depth to you. You have such this obvious love and passion for Jesus outside of music, right? Like I know that like your lifestyle is one of a worshiper and a worshiper's heart. So it's, when we're together, I feel like we go deep really fast, which I also appreciate about people. Cause sometimes I'll go really deep and I'm like, they were just asking me how my drink was.
No, same.
It's been so sweet. Your husband, David, has been just a sweet friend of mine since college as well. So I just love. So I know God is just doing so many good things in your life. And so it's been cool to watch. And I know it's been an interesting, good and weird and wild ride, but it's been cool to watch your trajectory even in the last year in this worship space. And I don't want to capitalize on it because it's a cool thing. I think it's cool to watch and see you as a person and as a human and as a Christian, how you navigated this. Like your influence social media wise has like blown up. And so I think in the worship space, we think that that equals, I don't know, more anointing, more authority. Like you must be doing everything right if somebody blows, right? So then we start to emulate ourselves around people who are also, you know, in these large platforms. So how has that impacted you just in the music space and how you're navigating that, like for your own mind, your own heart? How has that been?
Wow. Yeah, that's such a big question because there's so many elements to it. One, Christian fame is what?
Weird. Yeah.
Super weird. Not supposed to happen. I don't know. Humans weren't meant to house glory. So social media is creating this wild space where people are being followed. It's deeper than the numbers. It's deeper than, there's so many elements to it, but it's been a wild journey with the Lord with this. If I'm honest, the first kind of social media thing that happened, that kind of did a little blow up thing, brought me such anxiety.
Yeah.
And people around were like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, wow, this is the best. And internally I was struggling.
Yeah.
And,
I can't even put my finger on what exactly it was, but mm-hmm. as I've walked with that for a while, I feel the weight. I feel the weight of people following me. And I say following because if someone's following you, you're leading them somewhere. So what am I doing in leadership to lead mm-hmm. these people that God has entrusted to me? Mm-hmm. Where am I leading them? Mm-hmm. It's heavy. It's a weighty thing to be given influence in any sort of way. And social media is obviously not the only way to have influence.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm a verbal processor, so I
know for sure
process as I speak.
I feel you. Yeah.
But it's weighty to be where God has you because there's to whom much is given, much is required.
Well, and I think we've talked about this before. It's interesting to be in a space as worship leaders. Everybody needs a break in general, you know, needs seasons of rest and such. But I think there are a lot of people who have been in a leadership role and then like run from it because then there's like this, I wasn't able to be who I wanted to be, or just like there's certain restrictions that it almost feels like, why is this even put on me? I didn't ask for this, you know, those kinds of things. And have you been able to kind of safeguard that? I know that you're in a really healthy, beautiful space in a role that you have in worship leading, but as just a worshiper in general who has a lot of visibility, does that mess with you at all in your mind?
It is messy because it's interesting. So I'm making content, quote unquote, but the content is worship to the Lord.
Right.
So it's ironic.
Yeah, totally.
So so it's hard to go into a so I try to schedule my content days. Mm-hmm. And if I'm honest, it's hard to go into a content day with a worshipful heart. One, I'm not amazing at technology and I have to set up my mic, my sound, this thing I'm using called an iRig, and then hook up everything, and then the headphones, and then the lighting, and then the time of day, and then the guy's leaf blowing in my backyard, and then the mailman comes, and it's a big loud noise. It's really tough to maintain a worshipful heart. And sometimes through these things, and again, I'm processing out loud, and the Lord is speaking in real time, I feel like, even to my heart. There's so much about the output of worship that is just so it's just in here. We are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. So I must believe that if God has called me to this space and I'm putting out worship music to glorify him, and that is my ultimate goal, even though stuff gets messy in the middle. But I need to believe and understand and recognize that I am pursuing a worshipful life. So as I go into making something, though I might be like thinking the whole time, I hope the mailman doesn't come during this tape.
For sure.
my heart is a worshiper, and I am a worshiper. So if I'm going to the grocery store, I'm a worshiper. If I'm going to get my nails done, I'm a worshiper. Mm-hmm. If I'm making a piece of content that is worship, I'm a worshiper. And so I have to have grace for myself that not every moment is going to be like just this
totally
experience of depth with the Lord at every moment. I would hope to live a life that is an experience of depth with the Lord.
Totally.
Something like that.
No, I love that. As you're saying that, I believe it's Zach Neese who talks about it. And I know you love his book, How to Worship a King. He says something about like, identity informs function. So whenever we're doing something out of the identity, like you're saying, we're already a worshiper. So I think we do put a huge stock in, I have to feel it all the time. And it has to, I'm the same with you. Like sometimes I'll feel like, man, like I didn't feel that at all. But the whole time I was like, Lord, like, I'm giving this to you. This doesn't feel fun. This feels really hard, actually. Like, I'm in my head, but like, okay, I you know my heart in this. Then he's yeah. just as glorified through it, as much as the times where it almost feels like I'm going to pass out because, you know, the glory is totally. so thick and all of that. So I love that, because it is like a way in which there's that new term right now, like digital missionary. You know, there's people who are,
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, I just was like seeing people post about like the one way that people see themselves as missionaries is in the digital space. So wow. whenever you're posting content, whether you felt it or not, like somebody is really going to encounter Jesus.
Yes.
And so that is powerful. You're a worshiper first before you're a singer or a content yes. creator. So if what you're doing is already coming out of the identity of who we are, we don't have to feel it all of the time.
Yes, absolutely. You know? And in my time with the Lord, I had been hearing people that I respected in their faith and even in the music space yeah. talk about buying oil. Have you heard that?
No.
And Stephanie Gretzinger kept saying it. And I was like, one, I trust a lot of things that she says. So what does this mean?
Yeah.
And so I did a dive with the Lord on it and found that it kind of comes from the parable of the women who had their lamps mm-hmm. and they were waiting for their bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it says five were wise, five were foolish. And yeah. then they all fell asleep. The bridegroom came, and the five foolish ones said, oh no, we're out of oil. Can you give us some? And the five that were wise said, actually, you have to get your own oil. Mm-hmm. My oil isn't for you.
Yeah.
And so I was looking into this, and oil is in this play, in this passage. I like to read in the Passion Translation and on the Bible mm-hmm. app that has commentaries, really beautiful, helpful commentaries.
Yeah.
And so it was saying the oil represents the Holy Spirit, which empowers you and gives you power for ministry.
Mm.
And so, and then the buy part, I was looking and I was led to Isaiah 55 that says, mm. come who have no money, come buy and eat, come eat the food that is good. Come basically eat of the word of God.
Yeah.
And be filled with the oil of the power of ministry through your time with the Lord, mm. that you would be filled up and not be the women who the bridegroom came and they didn't have any power for ministry left. They were doing maybe how I took it as in the beginning of my study, is they were doing ministry without the power of the Spirit to do ministry.
Mm.
And how often do we do that is, mm-hmm. going forward into something we've been called to, but with no oil, with no power from the Holy Spirit to move us into that space with joy and peace and,
yeah.
and understanding and wisdom and strength and
yeah.
Energy and, you know, yeah. and so I guess that's something that I'm learning about right now. And that's leading me into more intentional even time with the Lord
yeah.
that I would daily buy oil, that I would have it
yeah.
for those moments that I don't feel it or
yep.
or I'm tired or I'm distracted, yeah. that the oil that I have bought in my time with the Lord and my intimacy with just me and Him, that the Holy Spirit would empower me through that to go out.
That's so good. Because that's like what helps prevent burnout and jadedness and even feeling used by God and all of those yeah. things that so many people, not just ministry, every aspect of life. But I think when we feel called to the church in general, so it's our daily function, you know, is ministry, but also very practical and daily tasks. It can start to feel like, okay, Lord, like I see all these people being touched in my church and I'm exhausted and I'm burnt out, you know, Easter and Christmas, like those holidays, it's like, I know you, it's like, you have to do a lot of like guarding of your heart and a lot of intentional time yes, with getting that oil, because it can become such a like, oh my gosh, like I have, yeah. I've dreaded some of these times of the year that are supposed to be just,
right,
you know,
it's almost like everyone else gets to celebrate what it's about, but we're like grinding away.
Totally. Yeah. And it's so good. If we're not staying filled up with that, then it can become a time when we burn out. And I think sometimes some of us are burning out too soon because of what you're saying. Like, we're not leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit and even to the giftings, not the singing as a gift, but like the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
We don't even know how to function in those because we're literally just like, okay, like, all right, another Sunday, or like, let me post this worship song because people are going to be healed from it, but my voice is killing me while I do it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I know you've experienced that on your health journey too. It's wild.
Yeah. But, and it's, I do love that because I think I'm relearning how to do it with God rather than for God. You know,
so good.
It's because it's so hard because I'm a performance oriented person. Like that's where I struggle with is this, I need to perform for love or for accolade or whatever. So then that easily transfers into my time with God as well. Like, okay, I spent this morning with you, but like, was it enough?
Yeah. You know,
like, I'll think about someone like a Stephanie Gretzinger and I'm like, oh, she probably spent 3 hours in her prayer closet this morning,
literally
weeping before you. Yeah. And I took this measly 20 minutes, you know.
Yep. Same. Yeah.
And it's that performative spirit. So then it can easily translate on a stage on a Sunday or just in any aspect of life. And I think the beauty is like God has actually given us the ways in which, and he says like, I want to be with you. I don't just want to use you. Zach Neese talks about that too. Like he can use a hammer. He wants to know his children.
Yes. Yes. That's so beautiful. And as you say that, I think of how you were saying, feeling driven by performance and I relate to that. And I think you're a three maybe on the Enneagram and I'm a two. And so, but there's something about me that I strive for productivity. And so at the end of the day, like what did I accomplish? Like they're literally like, I'm old school, but there's like 50 things on this to-do list that I could never accomplish in a day. So when I'm spending this time with the Lord trying to buy oil, as we've been talking about, if it does, like if I finish my time that I have and it doesn't feel like I got deep revelation or this or that, and it feels unproductive, I struggle with that. But as you're saying, the Lord just wants to know you. When you're hanging out with a friend, it's not supposed to be productive.
Totally.
It's supposed to be a growing in friendship and having conversation and laughing together and playing tennis and, you know, just have, so I struggle with needing even my time with the Lord to feel productive. And so that's what you just said is encouraging to me even now that we're together. That's all.
Right.
That's the goal.
Right. He's like stoked. He's like, I love that you want to be with me because I want to be with you right now.
Yeah.
And then like, right. Rather than like, all right, we're going to accomplish these five things together right now.
Right.
Or like, hey, I know that you're here reading your Bible, but like, you could be doing a lot more for me, couldn't you? You know?
Right.
It's like, oh gosh, that's not what he's saying at all.
Yeah, it's not. He's so much kinder. He's so much kinder than I remember every day. Every day I seem to have forgotten how kind the Lord is.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, so we both navigate this weird space. I was just talking about it a couple minutes ago before we jumped on this weird space of earning a living in ministry. And absolutely believe that that we should be compensated and we need to pay bills and we need to do all those kinds of things. But it can kind of muddy the waters, especially you're a phenomenal songwriter, you know, getting asked to be a part of different opportunities. it can easily lose like its sacredness sometimes. For me, I've experienced that.
Yes.
And so for you, how have you, you know, in the songwriting world, it when you figure out that formula and you meet the people, like it's, you know what's going to hit and what's going to, it can become kind of ordinary and common to figure out, yeah, we do this, we get this. But that's not the way like that the kingdom works. Like in scripture, you know, God didn't heal the same way. He didn't show up the same way. Like he was always relating to his people and meeting his people differently. How do you keep that in your heart sacred to where you're focused on what you're saying, the worshiping out of how God has created you rather than getting to that in that productivity of like, well, I gotta make sure I pay my bills, and which are all very valid, normal things, but it can kind of just get muddy.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. It can get muddy, and it's an internal struggle as well. And I feel like as you're saying that, I'm trying to ask the Lord which direction to go, but the most fresh one that I've had an experience with the Lord about is, you know, getting paid to do ministry is one of the messy elements of that, but also it's biblical.
Totally.
the Levites were paid from the tithe of the people, you know, it's biblical. We are missionaries in this, in a big sense. We are, you know, I will advocate for ministers to get paid. However, even on the receiving end of that, even though I know how I feel about that, and that I would advocate for my friends to get paid for pouring out. However, it's an uncomfortable feeling. and I was actually somewhere ministering this past weekend, and I was sitting with that uncomfort of getting paid for what I was doing. And the Lord reminded me of something. And he reminded me of when my husband and I were getting married within this last year. Mm-hmm. And there were just beautiful, generous gifts coming out of nowhere. Mm. Thank God, because what a wedding is, like getting married is wildly expensive, like more than you've ever could.
Gosh,
like more than I imagined. And so these gifts were coming out of nowhere. Literally, a stranger came with this generous gift, and I remember going home from that event where the stranger had come up to me and blessed me with this generous gift, and asking God, like, why? What are you? Why are you? Could give this. You could give this money to a homeless person. You could give this money. God, why are you choosing us to give this money to? I don't feel worthy. Yeah. I'm so grateful and also confused. And what the Lord showed me in that moment, he said to me in my imagination center. He is how he speaks to me often. Yeah. But I felt him say to me, the two of you are good soil, and it will not end with you.
Oh, wow.
And so as he's teaching us how to live from a place of generosity, he showed me in that moment that he was able to give to us because he knows our eyes are open to give to his people.
So good.
And so then this weekend I was reminded of that, feeling almost guilty for getting paid for pouring out in ministry. Yeah. And the Lord reminded me of that moment. And he said, you are good soil. Giving to you is like giving to my people, because you will give to my people, not only financially, which is a big part of it, to live with eyes open and generosity.
Yeah.
But you will sow, I'm sowing a seed, because the fruit that will come out of this will bless the nation. And so I believe that even as ministers, we can, one, grow and continue to not strive. I don't like the word strive. Grow in being a place that God can trust with his resources, both financially, opportunity wise, people, influence, that we would be good soil for these places that he can then sow seeds that will not end with us.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. That is really good. That is a beautiful way to think about it because, yeah, when we just focus on finances in the earthly realm and we just think of like the means for an end, it doesn't feel, but that's, yeah, that's really beautiful, especially when you are pouring out in so many different ways. But I do love that the generosity piece, and I feels like it brings back to obedience too. Like, you know, when you stay obedient to what God calls you, and then he can trust you with the blessing because you're actually leaning in and trusting him as well. Like, I'm here, I'm doing it because I love you. And I know that you're going to provide and then use you as an opportunity to provide for other people in different ways. That's such a beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. I love
that. And then at the same time, I'm trying to make sure too, like my heart about it is also to serve. So I'm asking the Lord, you know, which places I can't do everything for free, but I'm asking the Lord, what places do you want me to serve you without getting compensated? You know, to make sure my heart continues to not love money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So I'm serving in both ways. I'm making sure my, or I'm on the journey to make sure my heart remains humble and that the Lord is my God and money is not.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I think because, you know, last year was kind of my first year back, not just with one home church. And so I was, you know, I've always been freelancing, but it was extra, like, I don't have my home base. Totally. So I was kind of singing all over. And I realized I was like, trying to book out, you know, 3 months. Like I was so nervous about making sure that I was somewhere on a Sunday booked.
Yeah.
And then I started resenting a lot of the places I was leading. It had nothing to do with the church I was at. It just had to do with like, gosh, I just feel like I have to be here. And I remember God being like, okay, I didn't ask you to step out from a place that was very safe and stable for you financially. To then make you just strive and like be just trying to book a Sunday. Like that's not at all, you know, what I had for you. And so for me, it's been this interesting heart process of, you know, we live in California and it's wild to live here. So, and I just, I don't feel like I've heard many people talk super helpful and well about finance and the creative entrepreneur ministry space. Cause I've been in that same, I'm like, okay, so where am I serving? Because it's not on a Sunday. So it's been tripping me up of like, all right, Lord, like I got to make sure I am actually doing something. Maybe it's not music ministry, but I need to make sure I'm actually reevaluating the way I'm living my life because I also don't want to just be consuming, especially when that's kind of where my heart posture has been of like, ah, okay, I just got to make sure I'm somewhere, so I'm paying my bills and I love you, God, but like I kind of hate this season and I don't really love. So it's a hard,
And then even the freelance life is like, 1 month is like, whoa. And the next month is like, what?
You're like, all right, was I called? Are you sure I'm supposed to be doing this? God, are you sure?
Right, literally. And so it's actually wild because we have been placed in a career that almost forces us to trust the Lord, which is so awesome and frustrating.
So frustrating.
Because, and so intentional, honestly. That God would, you know, I don't know if there was just a regular old thing, I don't know if I would be able to exercise that trust muscle.
Oh, for sure.
As much.
100%. If you knew when the check was going to hit your bank account every 2 weeks.
Yep.
For sure. How do you feel like you've grown in that space of like learning to trust God? Have there been like moments where you were like, oh, okay, God, I don't trust you? Because I've had a lot of those moments. I trust him really well in some areas.
Yep.
But other areas, I'm like, I actually don't trust you at all.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. And through the different, the last, 10 years of life, it has had its seasons. I remember not trusting him with my future husband. Like,
right. Yeah.
That's going to be up to me. Oh, no. Yeah. I ruined that opportunity over there.
Yeah.
There's been that. Yeah. There's been financial seasons of not trusting him or having to exercise that muscle. There's been, even with all, and then it's as the further that you go with the Lord, there's always more to trust him with. As we go higher in what we're called to do, there's just more and more. You'd think it'd be more comfy up there, but it's actually way less comfy. And there's just more and more to trust the Lord with. And in fact, recently I was experiencing one of those areas where I, with the music industry, January, February, sometimes is like crickets, yep. Like, yes. Hello.
I feel like we all do the like there? Supportive text to each other. Like, hey, this is normal.
Yeah.
Like everyone's recovering from Christmas. So
totally. And
but
so
it's terrifying.
Right. And I was experiencing just, some fear, financial fear, and needing to lean into trust God in a way that I hadn't in a while. Mm-hmm. And it was very uncomfortable. But what's beautiful and frustrating about the Lord is this time of needing to do that has drawn me so much nearer to the Lord, and I'm walking around with my eyes open in a new way. So I heard once, I think it was my pastor Julian who had said, what you feel like you're lacking is where you might think about giving more of, which is really uncomfortable. So,
totally.
So being a little bit more uncomfortable financially than I have been, trying to be intentional about walking into these places that I'm no more normal places that I'm going with my eyes open. Lord, is there a place you want me to be generous today? And, and experiencing him move through that and experiencing the pain of sacrifice, and the uncomfortable, I guess that's where the word I'm looking for, the uncomfortableness that comes with sacrifice in an area that, you feel like you're lacking in, if it's finances, if it's time, if, and then you give your time in this sacrificial way, if it's finance, you give your finances in a sacrificial way. And, I just got to journey with the Lord, through that. And it was just a beautiful experience. And I have been changed once again by needing to trust the Lord, in that way, and that's the most recent example. But when we need to trust the Lord in these areas, it's like, it's almost like he's like, oh, finally, yes, now I can show you what I can do. Right. Now I can show you who I am. Now I can, your eyes are finally open to noticing the things that I'm constantly doing, but you don't see them because you're comfy.
Totally. Yeah. I remember one of the biggest times I like stepped out. I remember God said, I can't catch you if you don't jump.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, you're right. Wow. Like if I keep standing on the side, like it's not bad. And you're not like going to be angry with me or anything. But it's just like you're saying, like he's so excited to see us step into that uncomfortableness because it's not this like test and he's not trying to, I wonder if she's going to do it. If not, it's just like, no, you got this. You got this. Cause I got this. Cause I got you. Yeah. And I see what it is that I have for you and the depths that we're going to go. And it's not even stuff that we can see earthly, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like, Whitney, if you jump, I got your husband right here. Like I remember, I ended my most serious relationship. And I think in my head, I was like, okay, like, he's going to honor that and bring my husband soon, and it And it's been 7 years, you know? So it's like, I still believe in that of the obedience piece. Like the obedience absolutely wasn't in vain, but it is, that can be a hard piece too, that trusting, because then it's like, we're being obedient because of the one we love more so than we're expecting to get something out of the obedience.
Which is,
I'm convicting myself as I say it.
That is such a hard thing with the Lord, because sitting in the tension of the obedience and the, when also he's a good father and he gives good gifts to his children,
right?
And then sometimes you focus on the gift and and it gets messy and it's really difficult to focus on he is the prize. That is it.
Yeah.
He is the end all be all.
Yeah.
The joy, the salvation, the peace, his presence is it. Walking in the garden with him as he intended for us to in the very beginning in relationship and communion with him. It is wildly hard to remember those things, even though they're the biggest things of life and the most eternal.
Totally. Totally. And thankful for God's grace that he knows that. He's like, I know you're going to forget, and I know you're going to get wrapped up and all this other stuff. You're going to come back though.
Yeah.
You know.
And as and as musicians, there's so much on the horizon, like what could there be, which is beautiful. But then the what could there be gets like quickly becomes an obsession or the goal, which brings it back to how messy it is to be in influence as a minister of God's presence.
Totally. Yeah. Is there any like wisdom you would give to somebody listening who's like, I'm navigating that space of, I think that my obedience will be met with more influence? Or, because I don't think it's wrong to want to be somewhere and really want to see it take off and the worship to explode. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but it can be hard when you're gauging and comparing it to, well, okay, so Megan Tibbetts posted that video and she got millions of views. So then, like, that, okay, so should I be like, you know, when we get into like that mindset, so like to the creative, to the worshiper, to the person in that space of, wanting influence from a healthy perspective, right? Because we all are meant to have influence as Christians, like you're saying, we're all leading somebody somewhere. But maybe caught up in the tension, just some like encouragement or wisdom, or just to Megan Tibbetts years ago, like what would be your thought?
Yeah. I think it all comes back to heart posture that, that, and even it, it's your heart. It comes back to a relationship. If I, if I give to my husband in order to then like watch and can't, I'm doing this because then he'll do this back to for me, or he'll do the dishes the next, like, and even that is a struggle because I have a very like justice mindset, like things have to be fair, things have, but just thinking about relationships, when you're in a, when you're in a friendship or any sort of relationship, the way that you would give to someone just out of love for them is, you know, just like coming back to God as our first love and God as as our friend and our father. And as we draw nearer and nearer in intimacy with the Lord, I think those things follow. And then there will be times when you obey the Lord and your motive might be for what you can receive from it. And then there's grace for that. There's just grace. He's a kind God, and like all comes back to intimacy with him. And when you're closer and closer to him, I hope that the things of this world become strangely dim. Mm-hmm. As we keep our eyes on Jesus and we receive what he has for us. In fact, like even experiencing some of getting some of the things that I prayed for, it's not as cute as it looked. It's not as fun or like amazing as I thought it was going to be. In fact, it's weighty. And so it's, so getting the things out of the obedience, like, I don't know if we want that all the time.
Right.
So I think it's a perspective thing, and it all comes back in my head to relationship with the Lord. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think not being so outcome oriented, I think is what I've been trying to work on, because the beauty and the fruit, like I've been thinking of the scripture of like bearing fruit in all seasons, but it doesn't necessarily mean producing fruit in all seasons.
Wow.
So I've been trying to really think of like, okay, Lord, you know, cause for me, like, I don't know if it's thankfully I've struggled with the whole, like, I've never wanted to be well known because, I don't think working with certain artists and stuff, you're like, okay, first of all, I don't want people in my business like that, you know? And then second of all, I don't think I would do well with the comparison and just how, you know, just that many people having access. So it's been a mixture, but I think like not being outcome oriented in the sense of like, if I do this, this has to happen.
Yeah.
Because I've been in spaces where like I have a heart for discipleship, and like, I do love to pastor people. And so what does it look like if my worship team becomes radically in love with Jesus, you know, and that's not known. We don't have some song blow up. The church doesn't, but I see this fruit starting to be produced in the people around me. And I'm experiencing and encountering like the manifest presence of God. Then it, like you're saying, I think the closer we come to God, the less some of that stuff matters.
Yeah.
And sometimes the easier it does actually come.
Right.
To, like when you let go of it and you're like, I don't even know if I care, God. Like, how cool would it just be if my church was singing a song from something that came out of our church?
Yeah.
Like out of a worship moment. And because I, you know, I think a lot of people have hit me up, especially since like One House stuff of like, hey, our church wants to do this music and we'd love to do all of this stuff. Like, how do we write with people like that? And I've been really prayerful about, cause I'm like, okay, but like, just what do your people need to hear?
Yeah.
Like, what is God saying to your church body? The mandate on some of these churches to create global worship is phenomenal. And like, can you imagine how weighty that is too? You know, like, so, you know, in my own heart, it's like, okay, like, how am I seeing it produced in my own life and those around me?
Yeah.
Because I tend to find a lot more satisfaction and fulfillment too. I think sometimes the bigger things I've done, like you're saying, when you pray for things and then you're doing it, you're like, I don't love this.
Yeah.
And then there's that struggle of like, am I ungrateful?
Right. Or
like, am I doing something wrong? There's like all of that kind of stuff. So I agree with you. I think the closer we are, the more we're focused on seeing him and hearing his voice. And then when that becomes the goal.
Yeah. Yes.
That's you can't compare anything to it.
Mm-hmm. And then all that other stuff.
Yeah. It's so good.
And like when we let it go.
Yeah.
And is when, like you said, is often when it happens, but I think it's because it's no longer our God. And why would God give us something that is our God and would crush us?
Right. Yeah. And so, replace him.
Right. For our own good. He's a jealous God, but also for our own good.
Yeah.
And so
That's really good.
Yeah, it's I resonate with you saying that, and I think that's probably why, because even I've you know felt some of the crushing of of just mini influence here and there, and
totally,
and I'm like, oh, I understand why you haven't given me many of the things that I've asked for, because they would have crushed me.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe they won't later, but when I asked for them, they would have crushed me. And that's why I had to wait and wait and wait. And I feel like even as musicians and Christians in so many ways, we have to wait for so much. And it's so frustrating, but it's, I really think it's for our good.
For sure.
Which is wild.
That's so good. If I had got it when I asked for it, it would have crushed me. That's really good. That's so good. Dude, thank you so much. That's I just appreciate just your wisdom. And I appreciate that you, I know it's probably not an enjoyable, but I appreciate that you value and recognize and honor the weight that does come with influence. Because I think there's a lot of people who maybe don't have, see it as a sacred space and honor. Because I do think God does give influence to people who are really going to use it for good. And I think you have, you're who you are naturally, and just how God has created you and wired you is just so encouraging and comforting. And you're just freaking phenomenal and talented. So
that's you, sis.
No,
that's
you. Thank you. But yes, I'm absolutely, for those who haven't heard your stuff, I'm definitely going to link everything that Megan has. Are you, I know you're kind of always working on stuff. Is there anything? I kind of hate that question, because I don't like the pressure of like, I have to be working on something.
Totally.
But if you are, is there anything that you're like excited about? Yes, I happen
to be working on way too much right now, actually.
Okay.
I'm about to upload, so who knows when it's going to release. Soon, start the rollout of a harp worship EP.
Obsessed.
Which is so exciting. Amazing. I honestly can't believe I haven't done it before. But yeah, so that's really exciting. It's a lot of covers, and then a song that my dad wrote, which is just an anointed worship song. And
oh
so, I don't even know if I haven't told him yet that it's going to be on the EP.
So, I love it. So I'll text you before I post this.
Amazing. So a harp worship EP is in the works, ASAP. Cool. And then I'm also working on my own stuff again, that is going to be a little bit of a different vibe, a little bit more vibey Jesus, a little bit R&B,
love it,
like tiny bit gospel indie stuff in there, and so that'll be rolling out soon, and I'm really excited about it.
That's so cool. Amazing.
What are you working on? Is there something? You don't have to be working on
anything.
What
I mean, I've been loving writing for like other churches and other people. I've been enjoying, because I haven't put out any of my own stuff in a while, and I don't necessarily see myself doing that anytime soon. But some of the spaces that I'm in were, and actually at the beginning of the year, someone gave me a word, which I feel he's like, I just see so many songs coming out of you this year. Because I love songwriting, but it's also, as you know, it's terrifying and exposing and very intimate. So when you're right, like I've loved when we've wrote with our friend, because I need to feel safe in I'm not talented enough to where I can just, who cares who I'm with? Some people can just, which is awesome, but like the scene has to be set really well for me to feel like I'm thriving in that space. So, working on that and doing just a lot of stuff with the Wisdom and Wellness brand and some courses, and putting out just some more resources for people, you know, who are struggling with chronic pain. So it's a frustrating and exhausting and exciting season. where I want to quit all the time. And then God's like, I know, but sorry, not yet.
Obedience, man.
Father God. Yes. Yeah. But thank you so much for taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Whit.
Absolutely.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.